Set your course for the Hoth system. General Veers, prepare your men.
All troops will debark for ground assault. Prepare to target the main jet.
Echo Station 3TA.
On an Imperial Walker.
Attack pattern Delta. Go now. Watch that clock fire, boys. Right now, I feel like I'd take on the whole Empire myself.
Target, maximum firepower.
Imperial troops have entered the bay.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Echo Base. This is episode number 208, recorded on Sunday, March 15th, 2020. I am joined tonight by Eric and Tim. Eric, how are you tonight?
I'm doing great. I got my Baby Yoda t-shirt on that I just picked up today, just to kind of get in the Star Wars spirit of things. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I did a search for, I was looking for something, The Mandalorian, and I happened to be on a Disney site, and like every single thing for merchandise was all Baby Yoda. I'm like, it's not the Baby Yoda show.
Well,
it's the Mandalorian.
Next season, they're going to rebrand it. You watch. That's okay. I also picked up a Mandalorian shirt. I just didn't know if it would show up as well on stream. So, though, so it's basically that same picture of the Mandalorian kind of walking toward the camera, looking all Western and stuff, but now it also has Baby Yoda down at the bottom. Yeah.
Of course.
It's like the same shot as before, but oops, we threw this in too. Yeah.
And Tim, how are you tonight?
I'm good. I'm still spinning from this past week, such as my job, but,
it's been an interesting week.
It absolutely has.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot that's happened.
I have to blame one of my bosses because about a week or so ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, he had said that it's an old Chinese curse. You know, may you live in interesting times. And I'm like, he was meaning it as a good thing. I'm like, no, that's a curse. He's like, no, it's not. I'm like, yeah, it is. and here we are. I'm like, okay, yeah. Thanks.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
We actually have, most folks know, we record Echo Base first and then we record Random Chatter afterwards. And the vast majority of the news in the world right now, revolves around coronavirus stuff, but also the vast majority of pop culture news revolves around, coronavirus stuff. So a lot of the stuff that we're going to be talking about is kind of the impacts of it and, relative to pop culture and that kind of thing, not to hash out the stuff really anymore about the virus itself, because I think we're being bombarded with that, but we're going to make it a little bit more personal to us. And it's obviously, it is news in terms of all the pop culture things that we cover.
It's funny. So, you wanted so badly to not cover anything with the coronavirus, and every single piece of news that's come out has something to do with the coronavirus.
Yeah, it was practically impossible. I'm going through the news feeds. It was like, I found a handful of things. Eric, you found a couple more things to throw in there that weren't coronavirus oriented, but then there is so much more. And I, you know, for a moment, I kind of hemmed and hawed over it. And I finally said, you know what? It is news. It is relevant.
Well, yeah.
We need to talk about it. We need to cover it. So, you know, let's do it.
But you know what? I don't think there's really any of the Star Wars news this week that's really relevant to the coronavirus, right? I mean, Mandalorian season 2 already wrapped.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, so, I think this show is almost coronavirus free.
Almost. I mean, really the only one that I think is related to it is that Rise of Skywalker was released a few days early. And Disney did that, along with releasing Frozen 2, 3 months early, which is incredible.
Yeah. That's a big deal.
And that was their recognition of, hey, look, people are at home. Let's give them something. And so like, that's a pretty awesome gift from Disney. Thank you, Disney. Thank you, Lucasfilm. Like that's really cool. That's really awesome. I mean, they didn't have to do that.
Can we talk about that now, or do we have to do like the show intro, or can we jump?
We should finish the show intro. We have a few things we should cover.
Tim,
just to get that out of the way.
And then we'll jump right into that. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show.
Tim, we did that. We did, no, did that. Didn't.
You started that, Tim.
You know, and the funny thing is I told the people in the chat room to keep Tim out of trouble. And then Tim's like, what did I do? I said, wait 5 minutes. Well, lo and behold, we are four minutes and 35 seconds into the recording. Joe, Jedi girl, you failed. You had one job. One job. Now we have David and Carrie have to do it.
That is a pretty big job, though.
Carrie, who's running this circus? The clowns, Carrie. Keeping the clowns.
In line. It's a pretty big job.
Yeah.
Anyway, so let's finish up the announcements here. Tim, you wanted to recognize some of our Patreon subscribers.
Yeah. So last week we did some shout outs for the our $10 memberships, which are our premium memberships. Wanted to give a shout out to our $5 memberships, our bonus members for Random Chatter, who subscribe through Patreon. And just to run through that list quick, we have Corinne, we have Robin, my lovely wife, we have Kyle, we have Michael, Brad, Chickafant, who is like awesome mega
fan. By the way, Chickafant, thank you for all the responses you always leave on the Patreon posts for the Behind the Curtain. You're not really active in Discord, so we don't really get to thank you there. And I always forget when we're recording, but thank you. We really appreciate it. We read every one of them.
Yeah. Oh, we absolutely do. Chad, Liari, and Daniel. So thank you to all of you. I mean, $5 a month.
You're awesome.
It may not seem like a lot to some people, but that is huge to us. That helps quite a bit. It helps
us out tremendously.
Yeah, it really does. So thank you to all of you.
Very good. If you want to get a hold of us, there are many ways to do so. Probably one of the easiest ways is via email. Echobase@randomchatter.com gets to all of us. You can find us on social media, on Twitter and Instagram. We are at Force Chatter on both Twitter and Instagram. I am on Twitter at Luce Skywalker, that's Skywalker without the E. I'm on Instagram as Lou Secchi or Six Inch Hero. Tim, where can they find you on social media?
They can find me on Twitter at Qui-Gon Tim, that is Tim with two M's, and they can find me on Instagram at some call me Tim 1138, that is Tim with one M.
Not just one Tim, Eric, where are you on social media these days?
Well, if you're going to follow me on Twitter, follow me at Eric Blythe, that's E-R-I-K-B-L-Y-T-H-E, and at Cinefan, that's C-Y-N-E-F-A-N. I will probably roll the Cinefan one into the Eric Blythe account. But if you're following each of them, then it'll be seamless to you. And then finally, of course, you can find me here on Twitch. It's twitch.tv/Cinefan, C-Y-N-E. F-A-N.
Awesome. Thank you very much. And of course, you can get a hold of all of us on Discord, probably the more interactive way to talk with us. We have a lot of discussions out there, everything from stuff about the coronavirus. Unfortunately, that is part of our world today. But we have channels for all the shows. We have channels for spoiler events. We have channels for gaming. You know, different shows you see, gaming as well. The Picard one is fairly active these days, and you know, a lot of good stuff on there. A lot of good Star Wars content.
I imagine
as well.
Westworld will be active here in about 3 hours.
Yeah, because I'm not ready to watch that yet. I haven't finished my season 2 rewatch.
Let me go put that channel back out of the archives while you guys are talking.
Good point. But yeah, you can find out more about that by going to randomchatter.com/discord. Some of the channels are free. Some of the channels are available only to our Patreon subscribers or members. So if you go to randomchatter.com/Patreon, you can find out how to subscribe there. And little as a dollar a month gets you into all the rest of our channels. And finally, we do have a store where you can buy T-shirts and hats and all kinds of good stuff. If you go to randomchatter.com/store, you can take a look at all the offerings we have out there. And you can show your pride by wearing your favorite show. Let's jump right into the news now that you already started for us, Tim. You let the cat out of the bag too early. But anyways,
Like what you said in chat, though, that they would probably, iTunes would probably accept payment in toilet paper. I think
they might. Actually been added to their terms and conditions now, which just got updated. So if you go into them and you read through the 876 page document, it's in there.
Awesome.
It's in there. Yeah. Yep.
I think it's funny with all the references online for toilet paper. There is the whole thing from Demolition Man. It's coming full circle now. We see a lot of
posts. Oh, the seashells.
The three seashells. Yeah.
It's about time. That only took, 2 or 3 decades to come to fruition? Talk about foreshadowing way in advance. That was a long haul for that joke right there.
Certainly was. Yeah.
So full disclosure, the company I work for makes toilet paper.
Really?
Yes. Wow. I had nothing to do with the coronavirus. I don't profit from this at all. In fact, I can't even get, I've got probably $10,000 of whitening strips in there that I've gotten from company giveaways and stuff. I have no toilet paper from the company.
We got to change that, Eric.
I know. Plenty of dryer sheets, which, by the way, I'm going to start selling on eBay as like fragrant single sheet toilet paper options.
I was going to say, if you can get your hands on toilet paper, that could be a Patreon perk.
Exactly.
I don't think you want to use the dryer sheets for that. It's like waxy and I don't know.
It's like moisture. It has fabric softener built into it, Tim. So it's like it cleans and conditions at the same time.
Yeah, but they tend to.
And you walk away smelling, wait for it, outdoor fresh.
Eric, I don't need my bleep freshened.
That's not what I've been told.
Tim, maybe you do. Yeah.
Yeah, Tim, I hate to break. I didn't want to have this conversation with you on the stream, but you know.
Oh, you know,
we'll talk.
Okay, even, back to the news.
Even Carrie just said no, Eric.
Back to the news. You know, I just happened across this right after it got announced. I was up late and probably within an hour of it dropping, which would have been like 3 o'clock in the morning Eastern, I picked it up. And first thing I did was I sat through that 2 hour long documentary.
Which one was that?
The documentary that came with episode 9.
I haven't picked it up yet.
Lou.
Eric.
Lou.
Eric. I haven't either.
Tim.
Yes. That is my name. With one M.
Oh.
I'm waiting for physical media.
Why? What are you going to do with physical media? If the zombies come attacking your house, you're going to like chuck it at them like Shaun of the Dead?
When the apocalypse happens and we lose internet connectivity, I can still watch my movie.
I? Because I downloaded it.
Every other Star Wars movie I have on disc, I'm going to get this one on disc.
Well, I'm going to get it on disc too.
Well, I'm not going to spend the money twice.
Well, I'll give my son the digital code that comes with the disc and then he can have it. I don't know what you. Okay. Well, you know what? I will watch. I will watch the John Williams exclusive featurette that is digital only, and then you guys can just hear me talk about it later.
How was it? Is it good?
The documentary, like legitimately, compared to the other documentaries that have come out that have been released with 7 and 8, this was by far superior. It legitimately had behind the scenes things that, remember when they were, I forget the name of the desert world with the Aki Aki, and they fall into this like quicksand sort of stuff, and then they fall down into the pit with that giant snake.
Yep.
Okay, so they demonstrated how they did that effect with the quicksand. They demonstrated that the snake, which was CG, but they actually had a full-size practical snake there with puppeteers and all that. They demonstrated art design and some of the little things they changed, stuff with Palpatine. They went through and legitimately covered a lot of the behind the scenes stuff. And it wasn't just a lot of fluff like, oh, it was so wonderful working on the series. And oh, getting to see C-3PO again was awesome. Like there was a little bit of that in there, but the majority of it was meat. It was like legitimate stuff that you could sink your teeth into. And it was interesting. I've not watched the other featurettes yet. They look good. I will say that as very happy and satisfied as I was with that documentary, and it's over 2 hours long. So when I say full length, I mean legitimately full length. I was disappointed that out of what was allegedly 4 hours and 20 minutes worth of shot material, we had zero deleted scenes.
That's too bad.
Really, really, really am annoyed by that.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. Yeah.
And no commentary. I guess I can kind of put up with the no commentary, but really no deleted scenes?
Now, do we think we're going to get any on disc? Is there going to be a difference between what they put out, or is it going to be the same?
What's been announced, it's going to be all the same content, except again, there's a short John Williams digital exclusive.
Okay. Yeah, that's kind of depressing. I mean, I wish we got some deleted scenes. I wish we'd get more than we're getting. I mean, hey, anything's good, but there's so much more stuff they could give us.
Yeah. Here's the thing. People like deleted scenes. People like outtakes. Mm-hmm. People like making ofs. People like commentaries.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are certain staples that, particularly with big movies like this, that really kind of need to happen. And you know that not only are they obviously filming, well, they're filming the stuff they're shooting, duh, but they're also filming a lot of stuff behind the scenes. I mean, they're paying an entire other camera crew to walk around and filming the people who are filming.
Yeah.
That's their entire job.
Right.
So
they have so much more content.
Give us more. Yeah.
And again, the content that we got behind the scenes was good. We got a lot of, we saw Chris Terrio, who co-wrote the movie, an individual we hadn't really seen much of before.
No.
One of the producers, I probably am getting the name wrong. I think it was Michelle Rejwan. She was in quite a bit of the documentary. She's another person that I've never seen or heard from before, but it was interesting to get her perspective on things. They covered putting Carrie Fisher back in. They covered the stunts for Daisy Ridley. They covered a little bit about Chewbacca stuff and the decision to bring Palpatine back, though nothing that really added any lore, like in-universe content. But, just kind of some of the changes they made with the Death Star footage and this and that. Legitimately good stuff. And I'm okay with them not having commentary other than the fact that we've had commentary in the past. So it kind of felt like a reasonable expectation and we didn't get it this time. And I really love commentary. So that was a bit of a disappointment, but the deleted scenes, when there were so many that actually were filmed.
Yeah. And JJ actually does really good commentaries. So
he does
to not have him do one is kind of a bummer.
I mean, I wonder if the deleted scenes would have been too controversial because they changed the way things were going.
I hope they did. Listen, if
Joe,
if it's the fault of all the fans out there who've gotten all worked up about all this nonsense, if that's why they're not releasing the deleted scenes, then I have a really hard time not being angry with the fans right now.
I mean, I can honestly see how that would be a concern of theirs, though. I mean, if the deleted scenes were going to show them going in a totally different direction or show what we had were going to get, because, I mean, there's all these people that discussions happen of, well, this is what we're going to get. And then, why are we getting this? Like, well, you didn't get that. We're not going to get that. Don't ask for it. And now.
Yeah.
And it would have opened up
that can of worms. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would have been, oh, well, you should have left this in and blah. And I've done that before. Oh, they should have left this scene in. But then I walk away from it. Like, I don't dwell on it. I'm sure this would have been one of those change.org petitions, release a new version on DVD with that scene and that scene, but not that one plus this one.
Right.
And replace that one with this other. Yeah. It would have been a mess. And I get it. Yeah. But like, we're missing out on. And so, I love Joe's comment, have Colin Trevorrow do the commentary. That could be fun.
Yeah.
But what David was saying about Mark Hamill's ad-lib dialogue, which was supposed to have been pretty good. And then there was a lot more Palpatine content. There was apparently twice as much content with Luke, twice as much content with Palpatine. Mark Hamill got to make up his own lines for a lot of it. I don't know that it was ad-libbed, but he got to write his own lines and then perform them. And apparently all or nearly all of those got cut. There were things with Rose interacting with Leia specifically, and those were cut apparently for technical reasons. There's a lot of stuff that would have been really nice to see, and I can't imagine they're holding out for another version of it because we're getting the complete Saga box set. Like, what are they going to make it? Like, even Saga ear. Even soggier.
But I mean, it would be nice to get, and I know it's controversial, but it would be nice to get more behind the scenes stuff so we know why the decisions were made they made. I mean, right or wrong, agree with them or
but
not.
But then we're going to judge them. We're going to judge those decisions. Exactly. And that's what exactly. I think they don't want.
You're right. But I mean, I think you're on the same page I am here, because I mean, I love listening to commentaries of directors and explaining why decisions were made the way they were. Mm-hmm. Even if I don't agree with them, I still love to have that kind of thought process in my head as to what went on.
Yeah.
But you're actually
really
right.
Insightful
people would be so upset.
Yeah. Now, Eric, there's a couple of video clips that have been released through other venues. Mm-hmm. One of them we have here, IGN had a clip from the bonus content giving a bit on Adam Driver talking about some things with his character. Was that in what you had seen yet? Was that from the documentary?
There's quite a bit of stuff from Adam Driver talking about Kylo Ren and a few other additional things. I've not seen what you've got here in the show notes. I haven't clicked through to see what that scene entails. And obviously, I don't want to watch it like right now while we're recording. Based on the brief description here, it sounds like that was included. In fact, this sort of thing happens quite a bit with releases like this. They will release a deleted scene or two, they being studios in general. They will release a short little featurette from the behind the scenes content to kind of sell people on the DVD. If you liked this, there's a whole lot more if you buy the DVD or the digital version.
Yeah,
so different outlets will get different deleted scenes or different bonus segments. I haven't clicked through on the show notes, but I'm very confident that this is promotional material that's included as the bonus content from the digital purchase.
Yeah. So this one here that IGN, and I threw the link over in the chat on this, it's under 2 minutes. It's fairly short what they had there. And it is mostly basically commentary from Adam Driver and Eunice Huthart, who is the stunt coordinator.
Yeah.
Talking about like the physicality of the role of Kylo Ren, and Adam Driver's like insistence on doing his own stunts. And they show a lot of him practicing some of this stuff through like the one scene that like it was shown quite a bit in the trailers and such, where he and Rey are fighting and he kind of does that like slide with one leg forward and on one knee with his lightsaber up. And so like, he's practicing that.
That was all in the feature length documentary.
Okay.
Yep.
And also a little bit of him, like Eunice mentions how much Adam Driver kind of advocated for Kylo Ren. Like there would be suggestions on set of, well, hey, Adam, why don't you try this? And no, Kylo Ren wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
So it's I really appreciate when actors get so much in the head of their characters, that especially when they've played them for more than one movie, and they really get familiar themselves with that character, and they feel so connected to that character where they can say, you know what, that doesn't feel right for the character.
Yeah.
I appreciate that they do that. Like, to me, that's terrific acting when they become that absorbed.
I really believe that Adam Driver is a very underrated actor. He has such a subdued, understated performance most of the time. Though if you look at the scenes where he's completely enraged as Kylo Ren, especially through episodes 7 and 8, I think he transcends that quite a bit. But if you listen to him in interviews or see other moments where he's got dialogue, he's very quiet and like, well, yeah, subdued. And yet he really seems, like you said, to kind of invest in these characters that he does. And I'm talking about other movies as well. I think he's a very underrated actor. I think that he's better than people realize.
What's the zombie movie that he did with Bill Murray last year?
I was trying to think of it. I've watched half of it. I still need to finish it. It's a zombie movie. Of course it's got dead in the title, but
he has really good comedic timing.
He does.
And his role in there was fairly subtle, but
yep.
He has really good comedic timing.
But he nailed it. And he's playing off of Bill Murray, also playing deadpan.
Right. Thank you, Gary.
Right. Come on. I mean, that's big chops to try to keep up
Bill
with.
Murray. Yeah, I mean, even the couple of times he's been on Saturday Night Live, he's done a great job there. And, you know, he does a good job. He gives his all in whatever he goes on to do.
Yeah, the dead don't die. Thanks, Gary.
Yeah. And he also, I mean, on SNL, he loves spoofing Kylo Ren too.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the funniest bits that he has done have been him playing Kylo Ren and just totally spoofing the character and making fun of him. And it's, I mean, kudos to him for doing that. Kudos to the writers at SNL who are just always incredible anyway, for thinking up some like really outrageous, funny stuff.
Yeah.
That's like, hey, here's behind the scenes on Starkiller Base. And yeah, right. Just like, you know, really wacky, stupid stuff. It's a lot of fun though. But, and you can find all that stuff on YouTube and such, folks.
Yeah. You can. So. There's also another one released to USA Today. They had some Dom Hall Gleason stuff, which I don't know if it's in the behind the scenes stuff, but it was kind of a blooper gag reel stuff they were showing of him trying to get lines right and just going over the same dialogue. And I have more respect for Dom Hall Gleason now too. He's fun as he's on set doing stuff.
Oh my gosh.
It was hysterical watching the things. Was that in the documentary too?
I can't speak for the specific scene in USA Today, but yeah, they had Donald Gleason and I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. Gleason and the other British actor who played General Pride.
Yes.
I can't remember his name. Yeah. He was in the same clips. Yeah.
Yeah. Also phenomenal actor. But yeah, there wasn't really, honestly, and I love Anthony Daniels as much as I rip on C-3PO. I like Anthony Daniels, but a lot of the times when he was there, it was all about kind of reminiscing about what it was like in 1977. And then they had some shots interspersed with Mark Hamill saying things from back during Empire and Jedi interviews and stuff. But those were just little, almost little transitional things thrown in here and there. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, this was a very, I don't want to say heavy, what's the word for it? A very dense documentary. There's a lot of content in there and it was all really good. There wasn't really, you know, the opening was a little slow. I'm like, oh boy, I hope we don't have 2 hours of this stuff. But then right. Once we got through that little brief intro period, it was just start to finish. It was good content.
Yeah. So this piece here, this little bit of a blooper reel, and again, fairly short, it was maybe, Lou, you watched it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like what, 3 minutes maybe?
I love asking Lou questions when he's drinking things.
thank you.
And so a lot of it was Donald Gleason kind of trying to run his lines, and JJ was also there sometimes off camera, sometimes a little on camera, and trying to get JJ's trying to get him to have the right emotion.
Was this about the traitor is thing?
Yes,
exactly. Yeah. Yep, that was in the document.
So, they're running the lines multiple times over, and Richard E. Grant, Carrie, thank you, who plays General Pride, was in there also. And it's just kind of the dynamic between the three of them while they're trying to figure out, how to say things. Sometimes scenes just kind of come together and the actors get it and the director is satisfied with what they do and it meets the intent of the writer and all that.
Yeah.
And then there's other things that sometimes seem to require a little bit of grooming and kind of walking through it a few times that sometimes maybe even it's not caught in the table read, but when they're doing it physically there and from the director's like, no, we gotta change that. You need to be more something, you know, more emotional, but it's not angry. And sometimes, you know, the directors can't completely explain it. It's I love when we get that kind of behind the scenes stuff because I like to know how the sausage is made.
Yeah.
There was a lot of sausage.
Yeah. I don't know if I can say sausage and fast here in the stream. A lot of sausage.
No. Oh God.
And you know, Donald Gleason though, if you haven't seen anything else he's been in, what was that time travel movie you like, Lou?
I don't like it.
About Time. So he's in that. He's also in Ex Machina,
which is
a phenomenal movie. And he does Oscar Isaac are both in it.
Yeah.
Phenomenal job.
Yep. Yeah, that's a movie that I think I saw him in. I think it was the first thing I saw him in after Star Wars stuff. And I'm like, this is awesome. I mean, it's a really good movie and he does a good job with it. And you can tell when an actor I don't know if I'm liking the role or liking the concept, but they get into it more, and you can feel that with some actors, mm-hmm. Which I think is huge, because that to me makes the scene come alive when the actors are really, really into it.
Right.
Yeah.
Tim, you had a post in here, and I read through the article, but I didn't read all of this yet, but concept art for Darth Maul. Originally it was supposed to be a female character, or was that just the artwork?
Well, the artwork was, which would have then cast the character as female. So this is coming from CheatSheet.com, and their article here saying that so that the concept artist for episode one, or one of the concept artists for episode one, was Ian McCreig. And he was tasked to create a character that resembled his worst nightmare. What McCreig had put together was a villainess with red hair and metal teeth, something that he claimed he saw outside his window when it was raining. I don't know where he lived.
AKA his ex-wife. I'm kidding. I don't even know if he's ever been married.
So, I haven't posted this article yet. Posting it right now over to the chat. And this one here, there's an image from the concept art here. And apparently Lucas looked at it. He found it to be too frightening. Obviously, episode one was very much marketed toward children and right. had a big slant. And, this concept art is very, like, I can see this in a horror movie kind of thing. I mean, it's creepy.
It looks like something out of The Grudge.
Yeah.
I've seen this before. It looks like The Ring.
Yes.
Only she's gotten a little bit less fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Darth Maul is scary, but this thing is, like, frightening. I mean, there's definitely a difference here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is more horror-esque than Darth Maul was.
Yeah. So it kind of went back to the drawing board. And so what they did here, McCreig took he drew the Sith, a Sith Lord version of his coworker, David Dorrance. So that's like me saying,
they never spoke to each other again.
Hey, Lou, draw me the most villainous thing you possibly could. And Lou draws something based on Eric.
Who wouldn't?
Yeah.
Right.
And so the inspiration for the tattoo, the lines over his face, came from a circuit board. And interesting. I thought it was a mm-hmm. really cool idea. I love, and I think I've said this before on the show, that I love going to Celebration and sitting in on Doug Chang's talks.
Right.
Because I love to hear. I love to hear about and to see his, like, all the concept art that he does and the inspiration for things and the evolution of things.
Yeah.
You know, they'll say, hey, okay, we need a droid that's going to be, you know, in war against the Jedi. So, like, you saw his whole evolution of the B1 battle droid starting off as, like, something not what it ended up being. And you just have these multiple versions. And I remember the last talk I went to where Chang said, yeah, basically I'll put together whatever it was, 6 or 10 versions of something and put those in front of George and say, to give George something to pick from. Mm-hmm. And then George would say, well, okay, I like these 3. And then he would further mm-hmm. develop those 3 and he would bring another 10 options. And then so George would keep narrowing it down. And so, like, that's what he did. So I like to see how the sausage is made. And I like to see the evolution of these concepts, because this is all crap coming out of people's heads. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's all it is.
Well, you know, and that's the thing. I mean, every time we see something like this, any designer that works on things is always coming up with multiple iterations of something. Mm-hmm. I don't care if it's a character you're designing or a spaceship they're doing or even a logo for a company. You know, you'll get multiple versions and pick one or pick two, and they'll kind of take those two and get on a different path, and you'll pick somebody from there and get on a different path again, because everything evolves and they build it better and better and better. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's part of the design process, and I think it's great to see those kind of things, like you said, Tim, how the sausage is made. You know, how we go from here to here, I think is fascinating, and what inspired them, you know.
By the way,
yes,
I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but it is Are you familiar with the one instance in which we may have seen a female Zabrak in Star Wars content? Not animated.
Not animated. No.
I'm trying to think, and I don't know. I like Zabrak, so I usually key in on them, and I don't recall where we might have seen one. Was it in no, it wasn't Maz's Cantina.
No.
It was in the background somewhere, wasn't it? Wasn't it?
So
like, I recently just saw this somewhere too.
You might not have noticed because this character was wearing a helmet.
No, what I'm thinking of then. Wearing a helmet. How do you get the
horns? I just picked this up on the internet the other day. I saw a picture of it, and I don't know if this is the case, if it was even intentional, if it was just decoration or not. But see, I love torturing you guys. I don't want to tell you just because I like keeping you guys in the dark, but I kind of feel like now I have to tell the audience. So you guys both plug your ears, okay?
Okay, here, I'll take my headphones out. Okay,
yeah, yep. Go ahead. I'm going to put my hands over my headphones.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go. I'll do the same thing, yeah.
The armor in The Mandalorian.
Really?
You weren't supposed to be listening, Lou. What was up with this?
Sorry.
With you putting
it must have bled through. I'm sorry. Yeah, it must have bled through.
Oh my gosh.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. That's the intent of the helmet. Is that the her
horns? No. But if you look at the helmet, there are little horn things on the helmet, kind of sticking out. But if she were a Zabrak, that's exactly where those horns would be. And so, if you're a Zabrak wanting to wear a helmet, I would imagine you'd probably have to cut holes through the helmet. So that would all kind of make sense. Right. Now, we don't know that that's the case, but it.
Yeah, I assume they were just like superficial, like decorative.
I did too, until somebody pointed it out and then showed me the picture. I'm like, huh, that like could
it
work.
It could be. Yeah, that's a valid.
Look at like it again.
If I had open creativity to like make a helmet, I would put horns on it because that's badass.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah,
that's what I would do.
Well, see, that's why my cosplay is going to be Mandalorian, and you guys are stuck with some kind of muddy guys who can't shoot.
Stuck with
yeah.
Mud troopers.
Mud
can
sticks
shoot.
To things, Lou. It was a double entendre. Okay.
Oh. I don't know.
Jeez. Yeah.
Yeah. Tim's right. Mud troopers can shoot.
His memory's a little muddy. Because you're old.
Wow. Where'd that come from?
Just about to spit up his drink.
That didn't even make sense.
I love it. I know it doesn't have to because old jokes don't have to make sense. That's the beauty of it, Lou.
They do have to make sense.
Lou, he doesn't care anymore.
No, he doesn't.
He doesn't care.
No.
Not at all. No respect whatsoever.
None. No respect for my elders.
Respect your elders, yeah. No. Okay, moving right along. Last week we talked about two new, I don't know if they're a helmet or a bust or what they are, but those Lego, the Boba Fett Stormtrooper.
Really, can we just mute him?
We need that.
There's got to be a way.
Just thinking the same thing, Jeff.
Try it.
Jeez.
Yeah, I know.
Oh,
it's just going to get worse.
So we're getting a third one of these helmet / bust things.
Mm-hmm.
A TIE pilot.
Woohoo, go Empire.
That could work pretty good. I mean, I think it would work for in the same context of that. I think it'll look better than the Stormtrooper one they had, but we haven't seen any pictures of it as a Lego.
That's exactly what I was wondering. Like, if the Stormtrooper one looked questionable enough, I don't know that. Well, the TIE pilot one would look that much better, right? Because what looked weird to me about the Stormtrooper was kind of like the mouthpiece area, which isn't that much improved on the TIE pilot helmet.
Yeah, but see, I thought the whole thing looked kind of plain on the Stormtrooper helmet one. I think in the add-ons for what the TIE pilot helmet brings to the table would be a nice addition.
I agree. It's a more complex helmet. And overall, as a helmet design, I like it better. And it would probably be imagined in Lego in a much more interesting way. But again, there's a wonkiness about the whole mouth area on the Stormtrooper one that I kind of feel might still also be there on the TIE pilot one. And I'd like to see a picture.
It's got the same grill. So
Yep.
But it's to me in the TIE, and this is a quirk of me seeing TIE pilot helmets out on cosplay.
Yeah.
They're just such a huge helmet. It just, they're massive.
Yeah.
It just doesn't look proportionately like it should, I think, but
Yeah. Yeah. They're massive.
There's a guy in my garrison that did a, oh good Lord. What's the new squadron from the new books? Defected over from the Empire's,
Alphabet Squadron.
No. Oh good Lord.
From
the Idenversio character.
Yep.
What's Dagger Squadron? Inferno Squadron.
Inferno Squadron.
Yes,
there you go.
Yes, there you go. Yeah. Thank you.
And he's got a great costume for it. The helmet's not awesome, but it's just a big helmet. It just looks out of proportion to the body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're huge. Now these builds, they're not bad. I like them. The only thing that I am kind of a little reluctant about with them is that there are so many studs facing out. So it just, they're very bumpy. I would kind of like to have them put panels over a lot of the studded areas to kind of smooth them out some.
You found the same thing? You found both the ones they showed look that way? Because I didn't mind the look of that on the Boba Fett helmet.
I agree. On Boba Fett, it seemed to look a little bit better. On the Stormtrooper, for some reason, it just looked more awkward.
But again, I think it was the shape of contour of the helmet.
The sides looked long. It didn't look the right aspect ratio, I guess. But
I have to wonder if maybe they didn't try putting the cap pieces on it and it just didn't look right, because there's so many different ridges and bumps. Like the Boba Fett one is kind of smooth. The helmet itself, mm-hmm. like unpainted, mm-hmm. Undecorated, is a smooth helmet. The Stormtrooper one, it's smooth in the sense that it's rounded, but it's not like a single, like it's not just a bucket. There's a lot of indentations and dips mm-hmm. and grooves and things like that. And I think that probably complicated the Lego build from a design point of view. And maybe they tried it and it didn't work as well. I don't know.
Yeah.
Could be. Let's see what else we have here, Tim. This was a quote. I saw this somewhere recently. It was on Twitter or on Instagram.
I think Carrie also posted this for us in.
Did she? Okay.
In Discord, in our host chat. Yeah.
So this was a quote from who is the author? Where is it here?
Scott Derrickson.
What are we talking about? Oh, was this the one about the Hoth horror movie?
We
talked about this a little bit on Knights of the Holotable. I am so down with this. Sign me
really?
Up. Oh, yes. Are you kidding
fascinating.
Me? Oh, this would be incredible.
Okay.
And Lou, the day after we talked on Movie Chatter about doing the mashup ideas. Let's say, for example, if A New Hope were redone as a horror movie, like what kind of mashups would you take a movie and then like layer on a different genre and remake it for us and tell us what you think. And then the next day, this guy who was obviously listening to our podcast, of course, we haven't released that episode yet. So he was obviously listening to our stream, watching our stream, said, I want to do Hoth as an R-rated ice planet, kind of isolated horror movie along the lines of something like The Thing.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
I'll tell you, and I've said it on this show, in reference to the anthology films. I've said it on Guardians in reference to basically any Marvel film, because they a lot of the Marvel films hit these subgenres. Mm-hmm. I love this whole concept of layering in subgenres, and I would love to see a horror take on something Star Wars. And we've gotten we actually even have in Star Wars a couple of references. We have the zombie books that were written from Legends.
Yep.
And like those were fantastic. I love that. It's just doing a different type of a story within the same universe, within the same setting.
And isn't Derrickson, speaking of the MCU, isn't he the director of Doctor Strange?
Yeah. So he was the director of the first Doctor Strange movie. He's also he's a noted director of horror movies. He's done what the heck else has he done?
Hey, you had me at Doctor Strange. I was convinced I was going to hate that movie. It's a character I don't care about at all, and it's actually one of my favorite MCU movies.
Yeah. He's done some good horror stuff too. He did the Exorcism of Emily Rose.
I saw that.
So two pretty solid horror movies. I guess I'm just trying to, in my mind, picture what this would be. I'm hoping it's something totally unrelated to what goes on in Hoth that we see in the movies. If it was just them making the base up and I have this, you know, race of creatures coming out and taking people, that could be kind of cool. But really do it as a real horror, you know, I don't know. I mean, I'd be up for seeing it. I just, at first glance, I'm like, is that the right spot in Star Wars for this kind of horror movie?
Here's the litmus test for whether it's the right spot in Star Wars. And you can actually ask yourself this about a lot of different themes and story ideas throughout the Star Wars galaxy.
Are you going to go there with
Is it sand? On a planet that's a desert? If the answer is no, it's the right location.
Simple as that. I knew you were going there.
No, I'm not going anywhere but there. That's the point.
Yep. There's a lot of potential with Wampas and that kind of stuff. I mean, we know that there was this whole cut scene from Empire of the Wampas breaking out of this room that they were holding them in on Echo Base, and they got out and they killed a bunch of people. That absolutely did not belong at all in Empire Strikes Back.
Right.
So it was right to cut it.
There was one scene they should have left. The one scene they should have left was the 3PO scene.
Yes. Yes.
They should have left that. The one time in the entire saga, 9 movies, the one time 3PO did something legitimately useful, they cut it. Unbelievable. You know the scene I'm talking about, right, Lou?
I do not.
Okay. So on Hoth, as the Imperials are invading Echo Base, Han and Leia are running down the hallway, and I think it's Leia's about to go into a door, and Han stops her, and there's a warning sign on the door. It says, warning, Wampa creatures, or something like that. Because that's where they had captured, some had gotten into the base, like he said, Tim, there was a cutscene and everything. And so they kind of trap them in that room and close the doors, and they're locked in there. So, and then C-3PO comes hobbling by because he can't ever keep up with anybody else. And yet he never gets caught.
I know.
No.
Different thing.
Bizarre.
So he comes running up behind him, starts to pass, does a double take, looks back at the sign in the door, grabs the sign and rips it off, and then runs down the hallway. Well, pretty soon, some snowtroopers come by. They go up to the door. They must have gone in here. Open the door, and this big white furry paw comes up, grabs one of the snowtroopers, pulls him in.
Yeah.
Like, awesome. Perfect. And totally something I could see 3PO doing, and they cut it. In fact, if you watch the movie, there's a point at which I think you can still see like a little bit of a little yellow corner of the paper that didn't quite tear off of the door. Like there's still remnants of that in there.
Interesting. Yeah.
Why did they cut that?
Good scene to keep in.
Yeah.
But so sign me up for a Hoth horror movie. I mean, wow. Yes, please.
Yeah. Doing something like that. I mean, obviously the Wampas are kind of the go-to, but I'm sure they could even come up with something else on there.
Sure. Don't even make it Wampas.
It would be fantastic. And it doesn't even necessarily have to be R-rated. They could soften a bit to make it PG-13 and still insanely compelling. I mean, it doesn't have to be really like slasher horror-y kind of stuff.
No. Psychological thriller or whatever.
I want it to be a psychological thriller.
Mostly psychological. You know, I mean, certainly if you have Wampas, I mean, I want to see someone's head get ripped off because why not? They're Wampas and they can, but I would love to see it. Yeah. Way more. Or like everyone has evacuated the base except for one guy who somehow got left behind. Like he was sitting on the toilet or something and he missed the last ship out. And so now he's wandering around the base and it's kind of dark because the power generator has been blown up. And then he's hearing noises and he's making his way through and it ends up being the Wampas and he's trying to survive. Dude, Scott, Let's write something.
Yeah, let's get Derrickson on this.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Okay, I'd be up for it. I just was concerned about Hoth and what it would do with what's already there. But if it's something totally different, I'd be okay with that. I'd be totally up for that.
I was thinking, and he was talking about he had an idea that would involve none of the known characters. I was thinking like somebody who's scouting Hoth as a location for Echo Base. And then whatever it is, whatever the threat is, ends up getting him in the end, and he's not able to communicate to them, hey, don't come down here, or something. I don't know. Like there's a lot of different ways you could spin it, but
awesome. Cool. Yeah. Well, his tweet about that has been deleted. So I don't know if it's,
hopefully happen, it's because he signed an NDA with Lucas and Lucas said, whoa, you can't go revealing that kind of stuff. Yeah. We have a contract.
Good, good. There you go.
I'm hoping it's because there's a contract.
Well, we got one last story here, Tim. I'll let you take the lead in this one because I didn't read the whole article. But this is an interview with Polygon for Justina Ireland. She's one of the new authors been announced for the new stuff coming out for the High Republic. And she was interviewed about a bunch of stuff for the book coming up in Star Wars and in general, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So her book is A Test of Courage, which is the, I think it's the young adult book that's coming out.
Okay.
And so there's the interview here was actually like really lengthy. They did a terrific interview with her and there's a lot of good stuff in it. So I kind of culled out of it some of the better bits, if you will. So I figured we can just kind of go through, you know, I'll give the quote that she has here and then we can, you know, give some reactions to it. So one of them is when you're talking about something like Star Wars, that's already pretty massive. You really have to ask, what haven't we seen? What haven't we talked about? So it's really exciting for me to explore the past and the history of the stuff that we've seen in the films. So this was her kind of setting the stage for getting her brain into writing A Test of Courage. And I think obviously a lot of this is just, this is something that is 200 years before what we know in Star Wars. And so while there are certain, there's a certain foundation for things. There are certain facts that are what they are. But beyond that, they had an awful lot of creativity to work with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, what it compels me the most about this quote is, you know, what haven't we seen? What haven't we talked about?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I'm all for that. I mean, let's get something new and different and, you know, really stretch our imaginations out and go into some different directions.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So she has another quote here. I love, she makes a nod to the EU. She said, we had the expanded universe and a lot of that has gone away and people have been upset about it. But I do think it's great to have the opportunity to say, okay, this is new ground. How do we interpret this time period while still having something that's actually going to feel or feed into the modern canon as well without any conflicting storytelling? And we've talked about this before that we were sad to see the EU stuff go, but we understand that it had to. For them to be able to move forward and backward, as we see, they really did have to, they had to decanonize it. And while they're still bringing a lot of EU concepts and characters and that kind of stuff into the new canon, which I love and I greatly appreciate. I was a huge EU fan. I know you guys were. I know a lot of our listeners are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, David and Jedi Girl actually have a channel in our Discord community where they're reviewing Legends novels. And thank you guys again. We probably don't thank you enough for actually doing it. You guys put in like a terrific commentary of all the books that you guys review. So thank you for doing that. Let's see the next one here. I think the readers of Star Wars books tend to be a bit more excited about new things. We certainly have casual fans who pop in and out of the fandom more for the movies than the books. But we're hoping that they're going to come cross over with the books and hang out with us for a while. This is a great opportunity to jump into the books if you haven't before. And I think it was Shannon who mentioned this, who's one of our hosts on the network.
Yeah.
That like she's been interested in the Star Wars books, but it's been very intimidating. And especially if you don't realize that like Legends is now not canon and you see all these books on the shelf and you're like, holy crap, where do I jump into this?
Right.
This is a new era. This is totally new. So what a great opportunity to just jump in and start the ride along with the rest of us who are now seeing this stuff for the first time.
The catch is they've really got to go out of their way to make sure that people know that this is a starting on point. Like I know a lot of people who are more what we would refer to as casual Star Wars fans, as she kind of alluded to, people who are in it primarily for the movies and now presumably for the live action TV series as well, who they don't understand what Legends means. They just know that there are like 400 books.
Yeah.
And they don't know, exactly, like Legends, that subcategory doesn't mean anything to them.
Yeah.
So they are still intimidated by the amount of stuff that comes out. And then a book comes out and they're like, okay, wait a minute. So this takes place earlier than what I saw in the movie, but is there something even earlier than that? Is there like something else I have to read first before I can read this? Mm-hmm. Even with the new canon, they don't know that for the most part, you can jump into any one of those books, sadly, and there's nothing that they're necessarily tied to. They've really got to market this to people other than the three of us and most of our listeners.
Yeah.
To make sure that those people, those are the people for whom the fact that this is a new starting on point is going to be the most important.
Mm-hmm.
They have to hit those people and inform them.
Right. I mean, there's people that are never, ever going to read a Star Wars book. But there's a lot of people that, that would if they know it's accessible. And like Eric said, you know, knowing which ones you have to read or which ones you can start with is a huge deal. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember back when the old, you know, EU novels were first coming out, a lot of them had a timeline in the front of the back of the book where it would give you what was happening when what books fell into what place. It was like, oh, this is really helpful for me to learn this. But then, you know, the other question is that there's still so much talk online of the legend stuff and how it fits into what we have now. And I've had this discussion before, people on, especially on Discord, that, you know, unless it's mentioned somewhere and becomes canon again, you've got to really just take that stuff with a grain of salt and keep it in the back of your mind because they may overwrite that. They may do something different until they bring it back. And you know, like she's mentioning here and other authors have done the same thing. You pull stuff that you want to have and keep that as a point somewhere or change it and bring it into the new canon, which I think is great because I love those old storylines. I would like to keep some of that stuff around. Mm-hmm. But until it's there, it's tough to really say, well, what is and what isn't.
So more on that later at the end of the episode. There's maybe a rumor I might have heard.
Okay.
Maybe. Yeah.
And you're absolutely right, Eric, that they have to do something very different, I think, with their marketing of this, because those more casual fans pay attention to the marketing for the movies, maybe for the animated series, maybe for things like The Mandalorian. They're not paying attention to marketing for books. Those of us who read the books pay attention to the marketing for books.
Right.
So how do they capture that other audience? I think they need to be really aggressive with it. I think they need to be really creative with it. I would love, you know, I think in like season two of The Mandalorian, like right in front of the episode,
Have Cara Dune sitting there flipping through a book as she's sitting on the porch of.
Seriously, put a 15-second ad in there for this new series.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
You know, I mean, it's not often you see an ad for a book, but also we are starting to see James Rollins, and I've mentioned him before on some of the shows, one of my favorite authors. He actually has a company do trailers for his books.
We've had trailers for Star Wars books before too.
Yeah.
And it's incredible. Yeah. They need to do trailers for this. That's how they're going to hook people.
I think another thing they need to do though is, so they're not trying to target people who would not otherwise read books. They're trying to target people who are likely to read books, but have given up on Star Wars books because they don't know where to hop in.
Yes.
So I think marketing through Audible, Amazon, and then just putting something on the cover, beginning of a new era, because people they're targeting are people who do read books.
Yeah.
And they are out there in places where books are being purchased, whether in person in bookstores or virtually online. I don't think that it's important. It's important, but I don't think it's as important for them to target people who might not really read many books.
Mm-hmm.
They're really needing to hit the people who like books, but avoid the Star Wars ones because it's just too overwhelming.
Yeah, they do a pretty good job of that now, whether it's Audible or Amazon, where you will get, you know, recommendations based on what you've already listened to.
Yeah, Audible's recommendation engine's gotten a lot better.
They do a pretty good job with that.
Yeah.
But, you know, and the funny thing is, like, I was thinking about this while you were talking. I mean, I'm also a pretty big Star Trek fan, and I've read one Trek book. And there are tons of books out there.
Yeah,
I just was never interested in reading the books. I don't know if it was because there was so much more content, you know, visually versus Star Wars. And you got, you know, 172 episodes of this series and so forth. But I was never motivated to go out and read Star Trek books. So, yeah. I mean, you know, I guess that's that bridge they have to get people to come across on their own.
Yeah. Yeah. Some were pretty good. So, I didn't really read many either, but the Peter David ones were really good.
Were they?
Oh, yeah.
These next two quotes I'm going to read together because she makes some really interesting and interrelated observations here, I think. She says, we haven't really seen the Jedi as being like really awesome. We've heard a lot about them being awesome, especially in A New Hope. We've even seen in the prequels a lot of Jedi, but they're kind of a little jerky. They've gone away. They've kind of they're kind of on their way down. It's going to be exciting to see something we haven't seen before. She said, we've seen comparisons to Camelot, either the Camelot of King Arthur or the Camelot of the 1960s in the U.S. with President Kennedy and stuff. People often refer to that as Camelot. They're both interesting times to explore because even in Camelot, there were problems. The Camelot of the 60s had the civil rights movement, statements about some people being more equal than others, while Arthurian Camelot had factions that were unhappy with what was going on. So even in a time that's considered to have peace and stability, there's always going to be someone who's unhappy because of inequality or perceived slight. So with the High Republic being essentially the height of the Jedi, that's certainly what she's referring to, that we really we haven't seen the Jedi being so awesome. Mm-hmm. This is where we're going to see that. And we're also going to see, while a lot of people think things are awesome, there are people who are going to say, yeah, but I've been forgotten. I've been slighted. I've been screwed over. Or I think I can make more money or whatever. So it's going to be really interesting. I mean, much of the Star Wars we've seen, aside from a lot of what was at least alluded to in episode one, and little bits of episode two, particularly on Padme's planet.
Naboo.
Thank you. Completely out of my head. So, you know, we've seen these peaceful, prosperous times.
Right.
The rest of the series has been just like decimated, war-torn crap. You know, everything from the Millennium Falcon not working to planets being just totally destroyed to all sorts of stuff. So a lot of it has just been in total desolation. We haven't seen a prosperous Republic.
Mm. Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah. I thought she had some really good observations there. She said, we get to explore more of the nuance of the morality of the Jedi, especially in book form. Which I think is great. I mean, that also shows a lot of the conflict of things. And she had a lot of context around that in terms of throughout what we see in Star Wars, most of this stuff is very black and white. It's here's the villains, here's the heroes, here's what's right, here's what's wrong. Mm-hmm. She's really talking about getting into much more, well, as she says, nuanced things where it's like, okay, they might both be right. One is maybe better than the other. They both could be wrong, but one is better than the other. You know, how do you choose that, you know, where the morality isn't so clear cut.
Yeah.
And then she gets into a little bit about her lead character, Vernestra. And she says, Vernestra is 16. So she's probably on the older end compared to the middle grade readers. Again, this is a YA book. Her challenge is that she's a Jedi. And most 16-year-olds are still Padawans. So she's a bit of a prodigy. She doesn't know anyone else who's as young as she is. And she kind of sticks out, and that gives her a set of challenges to deal with. So you kind of have a fish out of water theme story fundamentally with this. And so that seems to drive a lot of the character development. And then actually connecting to the one I just mentioned before in terms of morality, she talks about the Nihil? Is that the pronunciation?
Nile.
I thought it was Nile. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Nile. They're space pirates, marauders. They're wreaking havoc in different parts of the galaxy. And that sets up a lot of stories that are more focused on survival rather than the actual pure morality of light versus dark. So I just thought it was a really good read. There's a ton more there. She's very, very into this. And it makes me look forward to these books even more.
Yeah, I think that these answers are encouraging. Mm-hmm. I think she's looking at this from the same type of perspective that we would hope the authors are approaching this content.
Yeah, I agree. Eric, you had something.
You said you had a tease for us, a rumor for us.
Do we want to, I don't know if this, I mean, this could be a really big spoiler. Do we want to say goodbye and then I'll throw it in just before I hit the stop button?
Yeah, I guess that would be fine, just in case somebody wants to duck out.
Just in case.
Just in case, yeah. Now, is this, just as a curiosity for myself before we go any further, spoiler for the books or spoiler for upcoming video content?
This is for the books. This is for the High Republic. This is a rumored with good reason, but not really. It's somewhat vetted, but not all the way there yet. On who the big bad may be.
Okay, cool.
The big villain for the era.
Okay, very cool. Very cool. So we don't really have our closing down pat here yet with licensing issues with music and so forth with the video stream.
Yeah.
So what do we have for a closing? I mean, we have, we're still streaming on your streaming channel right now.
For now. On we Center are going Fan. To yep. be, so we've got a little bit more planning that we need to nail down for the Random Chatter video content. Mm-hmm. As far as the strategy, are we going to be streaming it through YouTube itself? Are we going to be streaming it through Twitch and then posting the videos to YouTube? We have a few different options, and we are still nailing down what the best option of the Random Chatter Network is going to be. And then whatever that is, we are going to bring it to you. Regardless of what the live stream option will be, the content itself will be hosted on our upcoming YouTube channel. For now, the streams are still here, twitch.tv/cinefan. They will be posted shortly to the YouTube channel, which I have to double check on the link. I think we've got youtube.com/randomchatter or Random Chatter Network, one of the two, but we'll double check that as well. And then, of course, they will always be available in audio form through randomchatter.com and whatever podcast RSS feed you are already subscribed to.
Very good. Well, that brings the end of the episode. Thank you guys for another delightful evening. We're going to close the blast doors and get back at you guys in about a week.
Okay. So for those who want what might be a spoiler.
That's right. Now, wait, what about people in the chat room that are listening to us live?
Just plug your ears. Do this, everybody. Okay. Here we go. There's a rumor. We won't discuss it right now. Just let it bake for a while that we are going to have Abeloth come back from Legends as the big bad guy who is in charge of the Nile. Abeloth being the one. If you look back at the Mortis trilogy, you had the father, the son, and the daughter. Mm-hmm. Abeloth later on took on the persona of the mother and was neither really dark side nor light side, but kind of embraced both actively.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which also
That's interesting.
Ties into and some of the things that have been said in this very interview.
Yeah. And she was like mega powerful too. So
yeah, like crazy powerful. Yeah, just like the other Mortis characters were.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So
interesting. And that does tie into the what would really scare the Jedi. It does give them a really suitable nemesis for this, and can also eventually translate pretty well to film, I think. So
probably.
I mean, the presumption obviously is that these books are going to lead up to something visual. We would hope.
We hope.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it seems they've opened the door at least to investing a lot in the, here's the new Star Wars saga.
Yep. I would say if they're well received, then it would be silly for Lucasfilm not to do something with them. Yep. But there you go. That's it. It's not confirmed. It's still being vetted. Like, it's not even really like a sure thing, even unconfirmed, but it fits and it makes sense and it would be compelling and it would be interesting. And it ticks off all those boxes that we just saw in these interview questions, as well as some other things that have been set up.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. Pretty cool.
Interesting.
All right.
I could be done with it. And I think it's a really good twist instead of it's a very non-traditional villain or non-traditional antagonist. So, yep. I like it. I like it.
All right. So that's it for this episode. See you guys.
Thank you, everybody.
Yeah. Thanks for listening.